I want to share a message briefly, particularly around communion. When we was asked, would you like communion at Good Friday, I thought it was a fitting celebration because this is what Jesus did with his disciples before facing the cross. He shared the Passover meal, and a lot of the words that we share today come from that meal, come from that time with his disciples. This series we've called Compelling Words of Easter, and I just want to look at a few compelling words of the cross. In fact, there's only three of them, three words. This reading, I'm just going to read this last part again. Knowing everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he'd received the drink, Jesus cried out, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. On the cross, his last words that John records, and remember, John was there just beforehand, talked to Jesus, you know, said to John, behold your mother, and to his mother, behold your son. He brought those together. John is there, and John hears these final words of Jesus, it is finished. Other gospel writers, for example, Matthew in chapter 27 says he gave up a loud cry and gave up his spirit. But John tells us what that cry was. The cry was, it is finished. And I want to talk about that as a compelling word of Easter. It is finished. I'm going to bore you just with a tiny little bit of Greek grammar because it's important here. The word, it is finished in the Greek, is just one word. I'm not even going to try and say it. It means to fulfill something, to complete it, to accomplish something, to finish. And what's interesting is it's in the perfect tense. There are 12 tenses in English grammar, and the perfect tense is an important one. It's a one-off, it means a completed action with ongoing significance. A completed action with ongoing significance. It's used to express a past event that still has present consequences for us today. For example, I have eaten is in the perfect tense. Something I've done, but I'm full now. Or I have arrived, both in the perfect tense. This word, when John writes it down in the Greek, he uses the perfect tense. It is finished. A completed event that has ongoing significance. What is finished? I want to ask John. What are you talking about? Why is Jesus saying it is finished? From the moment that he was born, Jesus had this sense, even as a young child appearing in the temple, that he was on a mission. I'm just going to share a couple of verses that show that. Luke 12, verse 50 says, Jesus says, I have a baptism to undergo. And he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the baptism of suffering. He says, I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is finished. Same word. I need to complete that. Jesus, John 4 says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I need to complete it. John 17:4. Jesus praying to the Father says, I have brought glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Many other verses in the Gospels have this. Jesus has this sense of, I've got to complete the mission. What is the work that Jesus is to finish? John gives us some pretty good ideas of what that is throughout those readings we had even today. For example, it's interesting that he says when they lifted up the vinegar, for Jesus, vinegar's not great if you're thirsty, by the way. They used a hyssop plant. John's the only one that mentions this hyssop. A hyssop plant is a bit like a lavender. It's only short. It's like with a stalk. It's not something you'd put a sponge on. So why have they used a hyssop plant? And why is John the only one that mentions this hyssop plant? It's a really important reason for it, because John sees that Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God. And he takes us through his commentary back to Exodus, when Israel are in Egypt, the plagues, and the final plague is God's going to come and take their firstborn son. And he says, a lamb. You know the story. I don't think anyone here doesn't know the story. But listen to this part of the story of Exodus, where he's telling them how to prepare for the Passover. He says, take a branch of hyssop and dip it in the blood of the lamb and touch the lintel, the two doorposts, with the blood in the basin. John understands that Jesus is the great Passover Lamb of God, whose death rescues us from the anger of God against sin. So even in the last events of Jesus on the cross, John shows that's all there to fulfill Scripture. Does the same thing when he talks a little further on, and not in our readings, when it came, the Pharisees asked for those on the cross to be killed. They didn't want bodies up there on the Sabbath. So he said, break their legs. And when you break your leg on a cross, when your legs are broken, you can't lift yourself up to breathe and you die soon afterwards. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. And he makes the comment, John, that this is in fulfillment of prophecy in Psalm 34 and again in Exodus 12 around the Passover and preparing of a lamb, not one of his bones will be broken. And not one of his bones will be broken. And this is when you're preparing the lamb, don't break the bones. John saw this connection between the Christ on the cross and the Passover lamb. And he makes it clear to us. So we're talking about it is finished. And we're saying, what does it mean? Really, we need to look at the big picture, go right back to Genesis and the garden. And I'm going to make a quote from Max Lucado in his book, God Came Near. Max Lucado says, the moment the forbidden fruit touched the lips of Eve, the shadow of the cross appeared on the horizon. The moment the fruit touched the lips of Eve, the forbidden fruit, the shadow of the cross appeared on the horizon. God planned from the very beginning to send his son to pay the price for our rebellion, our turning away from him. The mission of Jesus to take on himself the cost of that rebellion. The anger of God against sin has been satisfied in the death of Jesus. The price for sin has been fully paid. And so he cries in a loud voice, echoing down the ages from the time of Adam and Eve, it is finished. It's finished. The separation between God and mankind is over. We are reconciled. The relationship has been restored. Mission accomplished. To illustrate this, you know, God's great at giving us picture illustrations. The thick curtain in the temple that separates the ordinary person from the Holy of Holies, this massive big temple, is supernaturally by God ripped open from top to bottom, and a way is made to come to God. It is finished. The separation between the human race and God is finished. What does it mean for us in conclusion? I want to share quickly a story, a true story. It's not one I was in, but it happened in Canada. Father and son, a really hot day in summer, walking through some forest, and they notice in the distance a fire coming, big fire, wall of fire, and the wind's in their face, and the fire is coming towards them. They're not going to be able to get away in a hurry. They're not going to be able to escape this. What do? The father does something very strange. He lights the fire where they are, and watches that go, and they stand back and watch the fire, then takes his son and puts him in the spot where that fire that he's lit has just been, and it spreads wider and wider. And what happens when that huge fire comes? It goes around them. Why? Because they're standing where the fire's already been. Does that make sense? I wonder if you can see what that illustration talks about. When we are in Christ, we are standing where the fire has already been. God has poured out his anger against sin on his son. And when we're in Christ, there is no condemnation for us. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sure, the enemy, the devil, will bring back things from the past and try to condemn us. Or we get triggered about things and you know, remember mistakes and things. Other people can point their finger at us and say, oh, you did that, you did this. But you know, once we've brought our mistakes and sins to God and to the cross, he says, no, no, it is finished. It's over. It's gone. I've put that away. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to just remind you now, coming back to that, the perfect tense, when I said it is finished is in the perfect tense, a past event with present consequences. The work of Christ, the mission of the Father gave him, is completed. It's finished. A past event with future consequences, and today we live in those consequences. We are forgiven. God is not angry at us anymore. God is not angry at us anymore. I'm going to ask a few people are going to come up and sing a few choruses of a song. I'm going to just pray quickly, and then they're going to lead us in that, and then we're going to take communion together. Father, thank